once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Welcome to Insight without Jack Stogler today. And we're going to have three ladies with us tonight, I believe. But right now we have two, and one of them we're going to talk to a whole bunch. We have Kim Rammel from our museum and Carol Judy from the Opera House Committee. And we're going to also be joined by Jill Andrews, I believe, a little later from the Opera House Committee. But first, we're going to talk about the museum. And welcome, and we appreciate you guys coming in.
Well, thanks, Neil. Thanks for having me.
Yep, pull that up. You just pull that, take this arm and move it and pull it toward you. Yep, just, yep. Oh, yeah, it was stuck, wasn't it? Yep.
Okay.
So, first of all, I guess next time you'll be on, we won't be just on the internet. We'll also be doing the show on our new FM station, which will be 107.3, and we'll be getting that on the air sometime soon. Chuck still has to run some tests and get some stuff approved, and that is slower than he was anticipating, but when the government's involved, it's always slower. So we have a few things. It works, and we know it, but they have to tell us it's okay. So that may be, he may already know it now, might know it later tonight, may know it next month. We don't have any way of knowing that. That's the government, and they're on their own time. So that's going to be a good thing. So pretty soon that will be on the air full time, and it'll be going, and it'll be a really good thing. So, museum.
First, I want to say congratulations, because from what I've read, it was kind of difficult to get that. Right?
Yes. It was, most of it was weight, because they, when we started this, I found out that Rockford had a radio station. I started asking how that happened, and they told me, and they said, well, you have to wait till the licensing process opens up. And so somebody said, well, just do internet. So we did that. And then Chuck started helping, and he found out that they were probably going to open up the licensing application process in 2016, and then they didn't. Then they were going to do it in 2020, and they didn't, probably partially because of COVID. And I had decided it was never going to happen because the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, is understaffed. So why would they add more stuff to their list? But then all of a sudden they did. And we were, Chuck found out in June or July that it was going to open up, but it opened up in the tail end of November, I think. I don't remember exactly what it was. We had 2 weeks to get everything together, and then they did another 8 or 10 day extension. But that didn't make any difference. We knew all the things we needed to know, and all we had to do is fill it in. We had a company that helped us. It's a nonprofit, so not really a company, that helped us, and so we got all that done. But so it was a chore, but it's gonna work. And Chuck's had it on from time to time doing his testing, and I picked it up all the way to Rose Hill.
Oh, nice.
We're supposed to go about 4 to 5 to 6 or 7 miles, depending on the terrain and some other stuff. And I think he had somebody, himself or somebody else, drove over. They could pick it up over in St. Henry. But, you know, we don't need to get that far, but if as long as we cover our area, because we're doing Fort Recovery. We're not doing all the other stuff. So, well, the show's over.
Did you see how I deflected it back to you?
Yes. But we do appreciate the thoughts there. So it's gonna happen. there's basically no stopping now. It's there's not much we can do that could make it not happen. So, and we have been joined by Jill, so we appreciate you popping in. She's number two there. So, let's just talk about the museum. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about the museum in just a couple minutes. Be back right after this.
Hello, this is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. Did you know the most stable skid steer on earth is now even more powerful? The L234 Super Boom Skid Steer Loader from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery offers 90 horsepower with increased hydraulics, breakout force, lift capacity, and comfort. You get the superior visibility, stability, and easy maintenance you expect from New Holland. Stop by K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery today to learn more about the high-performance New Holland L234 Skid Steer Loader.
Hello. This is Amy Wendell with the 2025 Fort Recovery Jubilee. This year's Jubilee will start on Thursday, June the 12th, with the Fort Recovery Merchant Association's Taste of the Fort on the Brick Street. This is a new night. Friday, June 13th, and Saturday, June 14th, will be at the Ambassador Park with so many events for the kids. On Sunday, June 15th, we will celebrate Father's Day with the annual Jubilee Parade and pre-sale only chicken dinner tickets. Also new this year will be the Amazing Race of Fort Recovery. It's a pre-event to get you moving around town. The packets for this event are available at the visitor centers today. Bring the whole family and experience the best of Fort Recovery, from kid activities, sports, and food to music and community spirit. We can't wait to see you there.
Welcome back, Insight. After I got through jabbering about our 107.3 WFRC, The Tribe, we're going to now start actually talking about the museum. And Kim Rammel is here. She's the museum director. Is that the actual title?
Site director. Yep.
So, tell us about the museum. What's going on there? What do you have going on? What do we do there at the museum?
Well, we're open right now.
Yeah, pull the microphone down a little bit more there. Yep, okay.
We're open 5 days a week right now. We started that after Memorial Day. So we're open from Wednesday through Sunday.
Mm-hmm. So closed on Mondays and Tuesdays.
Yep.
And what hours on Wednesday through Sunday?
We open at 11 and close at 4.
Okay. So
yeah.
That's all through the summer.
All through the summer. And then in September, we go down to weekends. So we're open on the weekends on September and October as well.
Yep. That'll be good. So what's in our museum?
What is in our museum? Oh, excellent. So there's the ground floor is the main exhibit, which talks about St. Clair's defeat. Half of it is St. Clair's defeat. The other half is the Battle of Fort Recovery. It's kind of split into two
sections. Between the two battles. Yep.
So we got that. Then we got one of the largest pre-contact artifact collections in the state. It's upstairs. So that's unique.
Yeah. If anybody is into stone implements, that type of thing, it's impressive. Everybody, I go up there and I see rocks and they're neat, but the people that are into that, I've been there when some of them are talking about it and looking at it for the first time, and they are flabbergasted that something like that is in a small museum like ours instead of in one in Columbus. I mean, there are things in there that nobody has.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So yeah. Then downstairs, we've converted a large room that used to be called like a meeting room or mm-hmm. a community room. We've converted that into another exhibit hall. And then there we have the Beyond the Battlefield. It's a banner display, and it's based on the Native Americans' perspective on the Battle of St. Clair's defeat.
And that's basically a very, very short version of what Chris Thompson put together and is taken around the country.
Mm-hmm. That large traveling exhibit is still at Ohio History Center mm-hmm. in Columbus.
Yeah, and we have what we need here, I think. I don't think we need that whole thing.
Yeah.
We had it here, a year and a half ago, whatever mm-hmm. it was, and it is really incredible.
Yeah.
But, for what she did to go chasing around all these things and facts and found out where the original, these people were during the battle and the where the Indians were and how that all worked.
A lot of research went into it.
Gigantic amount of research. Mm-hmm. Everybody had always wondered, but had no idea where to start to try to figure out any of that.
Well, and more so, more than just the battle, half of the exhibit downstairs is about what happened to Native Americans after
yes.
the battle. And I think that is...
That's terribly important.
That's usually a pretty big eye-opener for most people.
Absolutely.
So what we've done, I've kind of revamped the school tours now. I kind of mm-hmm. redid how I do them, break them up into shorter increments, and I've incorporated that exhibit into our school tours. We've got a lot of positive feedback from the teachers.
Yes.
They really like it.
Well, and most of the history books, as far as I know, that they have in schools, if they brush on that, it's only a little bit. And part of that's because they kind of wanted to hide some of it. Other parts is... nobody really knew a whole bunch of it.
Yeah.
The Indians, the Native Americans, they got run off to Oklahoma and wherever else.
And all the law, all the things that happened to them
yes.
afterwards, removal. I don't remember learning about it in school. Maybe we did. We might have touched on it.
It was touched on, but it wasn't even
and
remotely.
There is a lot to cover. History
yes.
is ever expanding, so
yeah.
you can't cover everything. And that's what small museums are for.
Yeah.
They're little niche museums that mm-hmm. dive into a specific topic. I think that's what we offer.
Yeah. And you've had several shows, events with lots of speakers. You've had single speakers there about talking about all kinds of things. Recently, it's been lots and lots about the Native Americans, but...
Yeah, this year...
You've done a lot before and since then so what do we have coming up?
Well, so coming up for... Well, I got to split this. It's the museum. I manage the museum.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk about that a little bit, about the setup.
Yep.
So I am a site manager of the Fort Recovery Museum, and the Historical Society has the site the management agreement with the Ohio History Connection. So they have an agreement, and they provide the site manager. So in this case, which is unique, I'm the president of the Historical Society and also the site manager, simply because the position was there and it needed to be filled.
Yeah.
And I felt a responsibility to fill it because we need a site manager.
Yes.
So it's unusual for a person to be the president of the Historical Society. And I signed the site management agreement, then I got to hire myself to run the museum.
That's not
as well.
Bad for $100 an hour.
Yeah. So it's worked out. Yeah, I'm finally getting the swing of things and juggling it all. But it's a lot. I put on two different hats, and people don't understand that.
Yeah.
They don't understand it's a totally different...
Yeah, because it to us, it's all the same thing.
Yeah. And I that's okay. That's all right. I educate people the best I can.
Yep. So, events coming up this year?
Yes. So, tomorrow we have a big event. Yeah, the big, the Taste of the Fort.
Yep.
And we're going to have a pie auction that night. We're moving to Thursday night. The Historical Society puts on an annual pie auction.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't heard about it, fine. You've been living under a rock. It's been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
So I encourage everybody out there in this radio, or not radio, internet world, if you can bake a pie, bring it up to the Krenning Park. If you don't know where Krenning Park is, just ask her out.
Right in the middle of downtown.
Right in the middle of the town, right by the Park National and Chuck Mennerding's building.
Yeah, the monument building.
So we're going to be there for the first time, and I think it's going to be great.
I think it is, too.
Because the taste of the town, taste of Fort is draws a huge crowd, so I think it's going to be a really good move for us.
I think that's really good. It was always down at the Jubilee, and it was kind of a special event, but it was at a...
It was on a Friday.
7 o'clock or something like that?
Yeah, it was on a Friday night, so, you know, it was good, but I think this is really...
People had to want to go down there for that.
Yes, so now we're going to capture all these people are just meandering down the street.
Yeah, and even if it isn't something that they want to bid on or even are prepared to bid on, next year they will be, and the year after if they want to make pies.
I have this giant hook. pull them in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, or to make the pies. And I think for a long time, Father Ned just won every year, so people got intimidated.
But I think so.
That's going to happen now. So.
You never know. There might be somebody coming up.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's going on tomorrow night. We accept pies from 4:30 to 5:30, and I think the auction start. We got judges. I got 9 judges this year.
Oh.
It was hard getting people to come and eat pie and judge. It's a tough job, but I got some people.
So each one of them has to eat a whole slice of pie?
No, they get one little slice and they got to share it. So, they got to save some for the person that actually buys the pie.
Yeah.
So that's going on. Then this Sunday we'll have battlefield tours.
And that's going to be...
Yeah.
That'll be after the parade?
Yes.
Yep. So the parade starts at 2, usually done a little bit.
Well, actually, we have one before. We have
the
noon,
1 o'clock.
And then we have one at 3.
Noon and 3, okay.
So I think I'm doing that one this Sunday.
Yep.
I'm doing that one. Chris Thompson and I rotate.
Yeah.
We switch. She's on vacation.
Yep.
We do two guided battlefield tours. The second Tuesday of every month.
Now, what is that? What's involved in that? Is that like a big 2-mile walk, or is it just kind of a stroll around and
five mile hike? You got to bring water and snacks.
Liar.
No. No. We typically start behind the museum, and we start at those wayside the wayside.
The Frankie
placards.
Walkway.
We start back there, and we use the plaques that we have.
Yeah.
To tell the story. Then we usually go about down to the... We don't even go down to the ballpark now. We usually just use the first 3 or maybe 4 placards, and that's enough to cover most of it.
And you can point at and they can see.
Yeah, we talk a lot about the landscape.
Yeah.
And the
Indians were up on this ridge, and this is where the Kentucky militia was, and they can see that. They don't have to stand
and where
there.
Where the river was.
They don't have to stand where the Kentucky militia was to see what was going on.
Exactly.
You can look out 100 yards away or whatever it was and tell what's going on. So
majority of it is St. Clair's defeat, but we we talk about the Battle of Fort Recovery as well. And we got you had asked before about new exhibits, and we got some new signage in the blockhouse, which is really nice. It goes step by step and how the Battle of Fort Recovery occurred.
Yeah.
So that's really nice to have in there to use.
Yeah, I did.
Also.
I glanced at that a few weeks ago, and it looks pretty neat. If you haven't been in the fort anywhere near recently, our museum, you don't have any idea what's in there.
It's
so different. This year's different from last year, and last year's way, way, way multiple times different from 5 and 10 years ago, and a million times different from 30 years ago.
Some people might see that as they don't like it so much. I know some people don't like things to change, and I understand that.
Well, but there wasn't much information in there before.
Yeah.
You had to really... and there's so much extra stuff in there. It's just...
Well, I found interesting. When I redid the basement and put in the new Beyond the Battlefield exhibit, I took all the all the artifacts out of the cases, and they ripped the existing cases that were in the basement. I spread them out and put them in different cases all in the hallways. And it's amazing how much more attention they get when they're not, spread apart and they're at eye level.
Yeah.
We actually utilized it the other day with a school group came and it was raining. And I said, I got to have something else for these kids to do. So I gave them a clipboard and a piece of paper. I said, everybody spread out. You go around the museum and find your favorite artifact. And those kids did amazing. They ran all over the museum. They were looking. Some of them wrote pictures and some of them wrote extensive notes. It was so fun. They came down and Chris was there and she talked about archaeology and how these things were found. And it turned out to be like something I want to incorporate into my tours. And it was kind of like that morning I thought, what am I going to do? And I came up with it and I thought, this is awesome.
Yeah, because they don't, if they're listening to each other, they're going to learn.
Yes,
each of these things.
I think they need different ways to get information.
Yep. But they'll all kind of do a deep dive into whatever that thing is.
And it was fun having Chris's expertise there too to talk to him about like how they would find those things, and you know it was really so fun.
Yep.
But yeah, so that's one thing I've changed. I brought a lot of the artifacts out and I've it's the same stuff. I just added more. I don't want to add more more in depth information about the different artifacts.
Yeah, because if they let's just say it's like the stone implements, stone tools, if they're all just kind of a whole bunch of them there, look at the rocks.
Yeah.
But if you see this
like
one,
what is it used
and then
for?
This one, and this one, you start learning things if you kind of see them separately.
Well, some of the interesting things, like we have shell buttons.
Yes.
And I went and researched shell buttons. It's pretty fascinating information about the shell button industry. And there was a comb made out of bone. One girl thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
But it is. It's like that's what they made. They used whatever they had at the time to make things. And the kids were pretty fascinated with that.
It's something else.
Yeah, it's so fun.
Anything else you want to throw in there?
As far as events, we got a speaker on Sunday, July 13th, too. Rick Schoenfield. He wrote "The Soldiers Fell Like Autumn Leaves," and it talks about the Battle of St. Clair's defeat. And I have a gift for you. This is the book.
Oh.
And I expect you to read it, and you're going to come to the event.
I hope the print is extremely large.
It is not.
It's going to be really tough. My attention span is about 3 minutes.
I tell you what, I read it. It's very good. Rick reached out to me and asked me about reading it, and he wanted to come up and visit. So we met with him last October. And then once we talked to him, we scheduled the event for this coming year.
I think that's things like that are you can get so much more from a focused thing like that. That's just I love to go and listen to those guys.
I think he's kind of casual. It's not. I have to confirm with him, but I don't think it's going to be just a PowerPoint. I think it's a lot of Q&A.
Yeah.
Which he likes to interact with his audience. So that's cool.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good idea.
And that is on Sunday, July 13th at 1:30, and it's free.
All of those things are
free. Yeah, they're all free.
Those kind of things are all free. Even now, if they go downstairs to that and they do want to go through the museum, you still do charge for them to go through the museum?
Nah, not on that day. They can come in. Yeah. I don't think so. I think it's all open. It's too hard to tease that out.
Yep.
We just don't.
Yep. So speaking of, you know, like paying to go into the museum, how much does it cost to run the museum and how do we pay for that?
So, like I said, we have a site management agreement with Higher History Connection. Mm-hmm. And about 2 years ago, they increased our stipend quite a bit, like 30-40%. So that gave us a lot of breathing room because it was basically a survival stipend.
The whole time I was even remotely involved, you were working on a shoestring.
Yeah, so now it gives us, I have two guys that work in there, and I work a day, and I run everything that's going on there, everything that happens, it goes through me. So
That's great.
Yeah, so it's a reasonable stipend now, so it gives me a little more flexibility, and we have patrons. I have a patron drive, and my plan is to utilize that more now to improve the exhibits.
Yep. Now, am I remembering correctly that also the one-of-a-kind auction, the Historical Society gets some of that? Does that help with the museum, too?
No.
Just the Historical Society.
That goes to the Historical Society, and that goes to manage all the other sites.
Yep.
So you got the museum is owned by, and the blockhouse, the fort, and the museum and the monument are owned by the Ohio History Connection. So as a site manager, I run those entities. Mm-hmm. The Historical Society owns the Krenning Park, and they own the amphitheater. They own the visitor center.
Pioneer Cemetery.
No, we don't own the Pioneer. Oh. We don't own that. Not yet.
Oh, but do we maintain that?
Yes.
I know we used to.
Yes, we pay to maintain it, but we don't own it. Okay. It's very convoluted, all these different
things.
And,
you know, I guess for that, who cares if we own it or not? We just get to pay to make sure and make sure that it is taken care of.
And now I got to give a plug for Janelle Braun, who is she takes care of it. She mows it, and she does it on a volunteer basis, and Janelle rocks.
Wow.
She's wonderful.
That's really great.
And we've recently, the Historical Society put a shed on the property so we can store a mower, which was donated by Marie Osterholt. If you're out there, Marie, thank you. So we got everything there for Janelle so she can manage the Pioneer Cemetery. So it makes it a lot nicer.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So anything else you want to?
As far as we got another presentation Sunday, August 10th, and that is Dr. Brad Lepper. He is an archaeologist from Ohio History Connection. He's going to talk about the Newark Earthworks.
Oh, yeah.
Since they put on the UNESCO World Heritage Site now. Mm-hmm. So there, he's going to come and talk about that. He is amazing. I've done his tour at one of the earthworks, and he does a great job. Very dynamic speaker. Then we have the battlefield tours every second Sunday. So we have another one September 14th. We're open for the cruise-in on Saturday, October 11th, and that's free. You can come in free.
Yep, that's a Saturday afternoon, if I remember right.
2 to 6.
2 to 6. I was thinking 3 to 6.
Yeah, we're open 4:30 to 6 certain that day.
Yep.
And then another battlefield tour on Sunday, October 12th. And then we have the one-of-a-kind auction October 19th. And that kind of wraps up our season. We're open for the Christmas open house, and that's getting kind of big, too. That's grown quite a bit, because we have the carriage rides down there by the museum now, and that's drawn a lot of people in the Santa house, so that's fun.
Yeah, those are right there, and that gets people right there where you guys are, and while they're waiting for the carriage, they can just go in. Take a look.
It's been fun. It's got drawn a lot of people into the museum. And I want to give one shout out for one more person, Maria Bruns. She has been helping me with the Walk By Museum, and she is amazing.
Yeah.
So if you're out there, Maria.
And
you rock.
I know back 20 years ago, that Walk By Museum got changed every 3 or 4 years. I don't believe it's that.
Maria wouldn't stand for that.
No.
Yeah, we just changed it. If you need to take a walk by it. It's very cool. We put all the military uniform, all the artifacts from every military, every era, every battle, and we found some really cool stuff.
Yeah, and you probably have, if I remember correctly, you probably haven't even seen everything that's in that building.
I know. I thought I'd been through every tub, and I'm like,
there's so much stuff in behind those partitions.
Yeah.
There is just incredible amount of things back there.
And the trick is putting it up where it's a nice, cohesive. It's hard. Helen LeFever used to handle that a lot.
Yeah.
I give her kudos, because it's a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if she had a lot of help with it, but.
Yeah, she asked me to help her one time, and I went back and started looking. I thought, where did all this come from? But people have something. They don't want to just keep it in their house, or they don't have room for it in their house, or they know that everybody else will be interested, so they give it to us, but we don't have a place to put it.
And one more thing, the windows they weren't UV protected, and I got some window stuff put on for UV protection, so we feel a lot more comfortable about putting those uniforms out there.
Yeah, because that sunlight can really damage that stuff after.
Yeah, and I want to thank Janessa Huffnell from Cooper's. She brought the safety team out, and they helped put the cling up on the windows.
That's awesome.
I know, they're fantastic.
Yeah, so everybody helps out.
Them.
Yeah. Well, anything else we want to talk about with the?
I think that's good.
Okay, so let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about the Opera House, and we'll have Carol and Jill join us. Be back in just a minute.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Are you looking for a new or used lawnmower? Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery has exactly what you need. Whether you're shopping for a brand new model from Grasshopper, Toro, Cub Cadet, or Kubota, or you're on the hunt for a quality used mower at a great price, we've got you covered. Our team will help you find the perfect mower for your lawn and your budget. Visit Hall Brothers today for top-notch service and unbeatable deals on both new and used lawnmowers. Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, where mowing meets quality.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. Business owners and farmers, are you concerned with the economy and where things might be headed? That's why it's important to be thinking about your 2025 operating monies. Come see our newest addition, my son Tyler and I, for the best value in the market. Because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice to have a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See us for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4049.
Wow. Are you ready to be a winner? It's almost time for the Win on Wall Bash, coming to Ambassador Park in Fort Recovery, August 22nd and 23rd. Over $1.5 million in prizes are up for grabs, plus great music with Crush, the ultimate Bon Jovi tribute, and country star Craig Morgan headlining the stage. It's the party of the summer, and the best part, you could be a winner. Grab your tickets now at wowraffle.com.
And okay. We're back. So we are, well, first of all, we were chit-chatting behind the scenes. So now we are going to be talking to the ladies, all three of the ladies now, about the Opera House and the progress and the all the stuff about that. So turn the thing down there. It's bugging me a little bit. So whoever wants to start, and wherever you want to start is just fine. Hi.
Okay. It's been a while since we've been on here.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much the beginning you want me to start.
Well, just act like nobody's ever heard it before. So
okay.
If you want to start with the history, if you want to start with where we are now and go backwards and or jump around, we don't care. Whatever, okay. However you do it is just perfect.
Okay, well, I think we kind of started in about 2020. We kind of formed our group and bought the building. And then because of the Opera House, we knew it was there. Mike was ready to sell, so we bought the building with the plans to finish the Opera House so we could still use it today. 5 years later, it seems like a really long 5 years because we have been doing so much behind the scenes. But this last year, I think you can really start to see everything we've been working on. So we started construction almost a year ago. And on the whole thing, really, but it started with the annex. It's a new addition to the building. The building was originally built in 1883, so no plumbing, electric, none of that was included. So our new addition has all the modern convenience. So it was a nice, expensive package of everything we want to have in our lives today that we added to the back of the building.
Plus an elevator.
Right. So the elevator.
That's not only nice, but it's required for disability.
It's super helpful. So we have an elevator, restrooms, even on the second floor. So if you're at a show and you need to hop out quick, it's quick and convenient. We'll eventually have a warming kitchen in there. As we get started, we'll have to see how much is involved with that at the moment. That way we can have events up there. And we still plan on having events, even if our warming kitchen is a refrigerator and a sink.
Yep.
And you can bring in food. We're going to have, I don't know. The uses are endless, really. Everybody has ideas on how we're going to use this space. So that's been exciting to get that started. In the meantime, we've also been working on the existing building. So I don't know if you guys...
So what are the plans with the downstairs floor of that? Is that going to be retail? Is it going to be display? Is it going to be who knows what? Or has that been determined yet?
It's pretty much been determined. The north side of the building has been petitioned off for three offices. Mm-hmm. And so the...
Now, is that the part where our studios used to be right beside?
No, that's what we call the third space. That's
okay.
where the radio station was.
Okay.
We don't have any... right now plans for that. That's kind of just sitting there on hold. Mm-hmm. The back was remodeled a little bit to make it safer, make it so that raccoons couldn't walk through the wall, and you know, so it's safe and secure, but we haven't done anything with it yet, and we're not sure where that goes.
Well, if you got the other stuff kind of figured out, if something will eventually come up that's going to be
right.
perfect for
right.
that
and
spot.
We'll say, hey, yeah, that's a great idea, and that's what yeah. we'll do, but we're not worried about it right now because we have other places to spend our money.
Yeah.
And so the second space in the Opera House building itself, the mm-hmm. one to the north, will be three offices, which will be rental offices for whomever. We have a couple of ideas of people that are going to use them, but no contracts are signed yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then the front part of that space is going to be a community meeting room. So it can be available to people to have a meeting, probably mm-hmm. up to 25 or 30 people might fit in there. 12 or 15 would be comfortable in there. The other side, we are calling our gallery, and Nancy Knapke and Helen Lefevre and I are the three main people that are working on with a gal who constructs and designs the displays for museums out of the Dayton area. She's been helping us figure out not exactly what we want, but how we want to do what we want.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming up with the facts.
Yeah.
You know, Kim and the museum has always been great history for the 1700s and the early 1800s. We are moving up a generation. We want to display and tell about life as it was during the time of the Opera House, 1883 to 1930, and a little beyond that. So so we want to dive into that history. We want to have pictures of jubilees of the past, pictures of the Opera House in the past and how it used to be. We're working on that one right now. We may incorporate some of the flats, which are the scenery that was up on the stage.
Yeah.
And that's a whole nother topic. The flats is wonderful, but anyway, it's going to be a gallery, and it will be the main entrance to the Opera House. So if you're going to something going on upstairs, you will walk through the gallery and walk back through it into the annex, and there will be a stairway and the elevators there to get you up to the second floor. So it's a gateway to the Opera House, mm-hmm. but it's also going to be available to relive the history of the early 1900s in Fort Recovery.
That's really awesome. I'm glad that there is going to be a space for those type of things, and that we do have things to show.
Mm-hmm. We're probably going to have to pare them down and exchange out another area that we want to have is people of impact. And we started brainstorming people of impact, and, you know, we're filling up the second or third page of people of impact in our area. So, you know, it's still a work in progress exactly what all is going to be there, but we're pretty well sure what we're going to have in the Opera House section. We also want to have a small little movie theater with videos in it to be able to show the sesquicentennial movies, the dramas and things that happened, and the bicentennial and all of those. We want a small area where people can sit down and watch those videos in that room. So we got lots of ideas.
That's great.
The first airmail drop, we want an airplane hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah.
You know.
And, from hearing other towns talk, they don't have that. They had opera houses and that type of thing, but most of them don't have any pictures or anything left of, you know, they don't have much to add to it. We have a bunch of things.
We have very few actual pictures of the Opera House inside.
Yeah.
We have some pictures of the building, but we have very few inside. But thanks to Cy Brockman telling his sons this belongs to the town, don't mess with it. Yep. We have the real thing looking the same way it did, you know, minus the water damage and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, looking the way it did back in 1883.
Yeah.
So we're restoring that as much as we can and keeping it as true as we can with a few upgrades that we have to have. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's some things that can't be exactly the same or completely restored. They can be reproduced. And I know we've done some of that. So.
Yeah.
Fort Recovery has a huge Victorian history. And we kind of overlook that because we have battles too.
Yeah.
But back at the turn of the century, we had nearly 1,200 people living in Fort Recovery then.
Yeah.
And so our Victorian history is really quite significant. So we want to kind of highlight that in the gallery. Like Carol said, it's part of the Opera House history. The Opera House was a big cultural space for towns then. It kind of put Fort Recovery on the map as being a little more sophisticated. Additionally, we had a bunch of different denominations in town, so it gave the community a place to gather that wasn't connected to a church, which is kind of unusual in this area. So we have a lot of things to showcase here.
Yep. So... Let's just take another quick break. We'll come back in a minute. We'll get into a whole bunch more of the Opera House stuff. But let's take a little break. We'll be back in just a moment.
There's one guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
Be prepared for the next power outage with a Generac home standby generator. When the power goes out, your life can go on without interruption. And now for a limited time, purchase a qualifying Generac home standby generator and receive a free 7-year warranty. That's a $735 value. Terms and conditions apply. Act today. Generac. It's a power move. Call Reasoner Energy Products at 419-678-4858.
Weather is great, and that means it's time for cookouts. And Wayne IGA has everything you'll need for a party or just some grilling for your family. Burgers, steaks, chops, they have them cut and ready to go back at their meat counter. And be sure to grab everything else you'll need. Fresh vegetables, chips and dips, barbecue sauce, and more. And check out their selection of beer and wine. If you haven't started grilling this spring, what are you waiting for? Get everything you need right here in Fort Recovery at Wayne IGA, the best meat market around. The Fort Recovery Public Library is presenting another Unlock the Box adventure, Smokey the Bear Fire Science Test. Bring in your crew and solve all the puzzles to become a wildland firefighter. This event will be happening at our library Monday, June 16th through Wednesday, June 18th during regular library hours. Pre-registration is required, so get your team registered for your team's 45-minute session by stopping into the library or by calling them at 375-2869. Game dates are Monday through Wednesday, June 16th, 17th, and 18th during regular library hours, and pre-registration is required. Have some fun with your friends by playing Unlock the Box, Smokey the Bear Fire Science Test. Be sure to call or stop by the library soon to pre-register for this fun event.
That was a mess. Welcome back. We are Insight. We are now talking about the Opera House. So... where'd money come from to do all of this? This probably cost a couple $100,000.
Probably.
I wish. We live in a great community, and there's nowhere else I'd want to be. People have been fabulous with supporting us with donations and time and their skills. The whole thing has been wonderful. So we have a lot of local donations, and on top of that, I can get into that in a minute, but on top of that, we also ended up getting $1 million from the state in grant funding to help us, and that really kind of put us over the edge so that we were able to get everything done. Cooper's made a large donation. The Grease Up family made a large donation. Cheeseman's made a large donation.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then we have had numerous family members make donations for each piece. Like, we have had a ton of support. It's been really exciting to see the community support the arts and cultural events in this way.
Yeah. And so what's this, you kind of touched on it, but what's this going to be used for, and is it ever going to make money?
Well, we're not out to make a huge profit. That's not the intention here. The intention is to bring the community together, have some events that we can really be proud of and be a part of. Our Opera House is such a unique space. Every square inch of the Opera House itself is painted. So we have murals, we have pattern paints. When you go in there, there's definitely an awe factor of just everything around
It was very much an awe factor before anybody started restoring and uncovering stuff. You walk in there and go, wow. And it was all faded and, you know.
Wallpaper
and
peeling.
I haven't been in for a while to look at stuff, but I know it's just fantastic. It's just, it's incredible.
And that's a big part of what we're trying to do.
Yep.
And then we want to take that space and open it up to everybody. So we want to have at least a monthly show in there of some sort, whether it's a local musician or a play or
something.
Silent movie. Yes. Yep. We have lots of ideas on how to do that. And then additionally, we want to have it as a space that can be rented out. So we'll have a big projector if you need to have a meeting space with a large number of people. Or we've had some interest in a couple having their wedding reception up there. Mm-hmm. They want to be able to get married on the stage and then have their reception up in the space. So we have lots of ideas and thoughts. Mm-hmm. Our capacity is going to be a little closer to 200. So I know a lot of weddings around here are a little bigger than that.
Yeah, but there's plenty of 50 and 200 and smaller than that. So one reason I asked that question is somebody brought that up to me. Well, it'll never make money. It'll never make that money back. And I said, yeah, look at the pavilion. We'll never make the money back that you know, we have to charge 10 times what we're charging now to ever pay for it. That isn't the point of those types of buildings. It's a great, useful building that you can do things in, and making money is not the point.
We have a plan. We have a business plan. We have ideas on how we can maintain it and keep the utilities and have an escrow to put money back into it if the roof needs replaced in 30 years.
Yeah. So you'll never make the $3 or $4 million back that we're spending to do it, but that's okay. People wanted it. That's what happened with the Cooper Pavilion. You know, the Cooper family said, yeah, we'll throw some money in and put our name on it, and I think two or three of the family made donations besides the family donation. So those kind of things, you know, they're very useful for the community. And like you said, if they're making the money to sustain itself, that's fine. But it'll never make the $3 million back that it cost whatever it was. So, yeah, go ahead, Kim. Are you going to argue?
Good.
So
I'm just kind of passionate about this. It's not about it's not about money. It's about history.
Absolutely.
The history of this town. If this building, we wouldn't have bought it, if it wouldn't have been bought, I don't think it would probably been condemned, because it was starting to, there was a lot of problems. And to think of that building coming down is...
Yeah, we don't want that.
I mean, it needed a big influx of money, someone to come in and save it, and that's what happened.
Yep.
Never say never. Maybe it'll be so popular that we can rent it out constantly and we can...
For big money.
Yeah, right.
And you know... But that, again, that's not the point. It is.
In the meantime, that's part of why we have three offices in the downstairs space.
Yep.
That will be a source of income that will help pay the bills while we get the upstairs going.
Yeah, so, and I would think that would be a pretty neat place to have your office. You know,
we hope so. People think that.
I would think that that would be a premium spot. I mean, that's right on the corner, and you get to, while you're waiting for whatever appointment it is to go into there, you can be looking at all this history. It's just a neat thing.
It's going to be a very unique venue. It's going to be. I think it's going to be very popular.
I think so too. And you know, it's going to draw people into town. It's going to have, you know, like the summer concert series that brings people into town that wouldn't necessarily be here. That's going to bring people in. The Cooper Pavilion, you know, every time somebody rents that out, there's almost always a comment, I didn't know this was back here. Mm. We didn't know that. Where did this come from? Look at this beautiful park. And people, you know, it's a really good thing. But so go ahead with your...
part of our critical mass. We have the museum and the fort and the battlefields and the log cabin. And
the murals and monuments
and the opera house. I mean, we have a full day trip here.
Yep.
Years ago, they were talking about how do we get buses to come in here. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about what they needed, and you know, the restrooms, the old gas station, the visitor center. Then the buses will come, you know. But then we needed that one more thing. Well, I think the Opera House is going to be that one more thing, and then we may get those day trippers coming in and helping all the businesses as well as us.
Absolutely,
because you know we've got the public, and I have to say the visitor center is wonderful. You know, I do the cruise ins too, and I can't tell you how many times the women have been thrilled to not have to use a porta potty. We have beautiful, clean restrooms, and they love coming here with their husbands in their cars because they know they have a good place to go to the bathroom without going into a bar if they don't want to do that.
Well, and even if they did, there's a line. So
yeah, so you know, people love our visitor center. So we're the extra piece that we need, hopefully, to get those bus doors.
Yeah. So how can people make a donation or help out? What do they do? Do they go to your Facebook page? Is there a website? Do they just run down to the museum on a Wednesday through Sunday? Or how does that...
The Metropolis of Fort Recovery. There are 100 different ways, and just to start asking around.
Yep.
Also, on our website, which is fortrecoveryoperahouse.com, at the bottom of the page, there's a click here for donation information, and it gives you a couple different suggestions on how you can donate.
Yeah, and there's probably a link to that on your Facebook page, I'm pretty sure. Yep. So,
yes. There's an email address as well on here if you want to ask questions, if you want a tour. Mm-hmm. We are not open yet. We're still in construction, but we're getting closer. Every day, things are changing, and we're getting that much closer. So tomorrow, I have a couple things going on in there already because we're just one more thing to get one step closer to get it open. So we're still planning on being open this fall. And it may not be perfect and completely finished yet. I imagine the exhibition space, the gallery space, is still going to take a little time. But we plan on being open to the public and getting started and moving. So we're just about there.
That's awesome.
A couple more months.
I was still thinking it was another year away from being usable. That's awesome.
My plan is to have it open so we can have tours for the Christmas open house.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That would be awesome. So,
While we're talking about that, Rick Stahl is our general contractor. He has been amazing.
He has
helped us in ways I can't even imagine. Like, this last year would not have been possible, certainly not in the budget and the time frame that he has allowed it to be. Like, he has been amazing with all the details, keeping us moving, keeping everybody on track, keeping us on budget the best we can. We're a committee of, 20 people, 25 people? Everybody has opinions and ideas, and Rick has been good about keeping us on track and consistent so that we finish. So he's been a godsend.
That is great. And his dad did all kinds of stuff for the town when he worked for Schwederman out of St. Henry. They were the ones that did all the projects in Fort Recovery, and I'm not surprised that he's that he's good like that.
He's not a Fort Recovery resident, but he can be an honorary resident because has been amazing.
Yep, he's pretty good people. Anything else we want to throw in about the Opera House?
Have anything more to add?
come and see us, and we're open for donations.
Okay. Yep. So is there going to be anybody out and around to talk to people at the Taste of the Town tomorrow night, or is that you don't really have a place to go?
It's a little tricky because I need to be at the Taste of the Town, which, by the way, everyone, come to the Taste of the Town tomorrow.
Everybody always does. It is crazy fun.
But because of where we are with construction, mm-hmm. we're not in a great spot to give tours and yeah. really have it open and be a part of it.
Yep.
We're nearly there. You can all see that the front was taken off, and we're just about to put a new front facade on. I have my permit drawings and everything. We're just about there. We're going to have a new storefront that's going to have the big storefront windows and doors, and it's going to look good, I promise.
So it's not going to be the metal door with the no. with the particle board.
No, that's just a temporary thing.
Slap a little paint on there. It looked just fine.
Well, we have all these wonderful things in the building that we yep. had to get out, and yep. they were too big to go through a door. And now we have all these wonderful things to put back in the building that are too big for a door. So this temporary facade thing kind of helps us get things in and out as we need to, but that is all going to change. It's a little dicey getting in there now.
Yep.
So we weren't going to do anything at the Taste of the Town, but I would expect here this fall we're going to start doing a lot more, and we'll let you know.
That'll be awesome. But so anything else we want to throw in about the museum or the Opera House?
I think I said everything I wanted to say.
All righty. Well, let's take another break, and we'll come back with Rocker. What do you have for us, Rocker? You have pop culture history. All righty. Girls, ladies, we really appreciate you guys coming in, and thanks, and we'll have you back after we get back from our summer break, and we can talk whenever you guys think it's appropriate, and we might even do it a couple of times, one before and one after we get open. Or whatever. We'll figure it all out.
Thanks for having us, Neil, and congratulations on FM radio.
Yep.
That's awesome.
And that's 100% Chuck. I do not touch that stuff. I have nothing to do with it. But
but it's a good thing for town.
Yes, it absolutely is. And it's going to be really cool. So thanks. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Rocker right after.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Hello, I'm Trevor Wenning, owner of Top Wrench LLC in downtown Fort Recovery. Spring is in the air, and it's time to get your spring car maintenance done. This includes testing your battery, checking all fluid levels, tires, belts, wipers, hoses, and all your lights for your worry-free springtime travels. Give us a call here at Top Wrench LLC, 419-375-4617 for all your automotive needs.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. Business owners and farmers, are you concerned with the economy and where things might be headed? That's why it's important to be thinking about your 2025 operating monies. Come see our newest addition, my son Tyler and I, for the best value in the market. Because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice to have a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See us for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4049.
The Fort Recovery Public Library will again be having their summer reading program beginning Monday, June 2nd, and continuing through Wednesday, July 9th, ending with a pool party at Ambassador Pool that evening. This year's theme is Color Our World, and they'll have some special story times with several guest readers who will stop by for story time. For children pre-K through 5th grade, for their first visit to the library, they'll each receive a free book bag and will be entered into the prize drawing. 6th, 7th, and 8th graders will receive a free one-day pass to the Mercer County Fair when they check out a book, and they'll also get an entry into the prize drawing for their age group. And all entry tickets turned in will be submitted for extra credit the next school year. There will be music, games, crafts, fun activities, and more planned for their summer reading program, and some of the events will require pre-registration by calling 375-2869. A calendar of all the events can be found at the library and on their Facebook page and their website. A big thank you to our summer reading program sponsors, SciO Desai and the Friends of the Library. Our library summer reading program coming up on June 2nd through July 9th.
Welcome back to Insight. We spoke with the ladies from the museum and the Opera House and got a lot of good information. And the Opera House is a little farther along than I thought it might be because, you know, we just see the front and you can't really tell what's going on there. But there's apparently a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, and that is awesome. So now we're going to Mr. Randy Rocker Bonvillian, and you have what for us?
Well, hi, Neil.
It's good to see you.
One last time before we head off for the summer.
Yep.
On this day in pop culture history.
Oh, yeah.
June 10, 2003, Wicked, the play, not the movie, first shows in San Francisco Theater.
Well.
Yeah, apparently didn't go very far back this week.
Oh.
Yeah. 2007, the final episode of The Sopranos airs.
That was that long ago? 18 yeah. years ago?
God, it seemed like just like yesterday.
Yeah. I never watched any of it.
No, neither did I. Was it Showtime, I think?
I don't remember. Probably HBO. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
I think it was HBO.
But anyway.
June 11th, 1982. This one's a little closer to my heart.
Oh, yeah?
E.T. beams down to the theaters. And for the next 6 summers... makes box office bingo money.
They played it. They released it every year for 6 years.
Yeah, it held over because it made money. Mostly in the drive-ins.
Believe it or not, I never saw the movie.
That don't surprise me a bit. You and my dad.
And dad don't have any reason why I'd want to.
My dad hated that movie.
Oh,
not sure why. 2002. American Idol premieres on Fox. Kelly Clarkson wins the first one.
Whatever happened to her?
She's got her own talk show, apparently.
Yeah, she's done just fine.
I mean, I wish I had that kind of luck.
I wish you did, too. Then I wouldn't have to hear you complain all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Just kidding.
Citizen of the day.
Citizen of the day. It's not going to be me, is it?
Oh, this one, it's kind of hard to argue with this one. This goes out to the local servicemen and women.
Oh.
That means the big guy right beside you there.
Wyatt Wendell here helping us out tonight. He's a Air Force veteran.
Before I do the celebrity birthdays, we mentioned we lost a couple... good ones the last couple of days. Sly Stone.
Yep. Let's hear a little Sly Stone here. Yep. Sylvester Stewart. Sly. And the Family Stone.
82, was it?
Yep. He'd been fighting all kinds of stuff. I think there's heart problems or something like that. So
then this morning, of course, we found out we lost the co-founder of the Beach Boys, Brian Wilson.
Yep. This is one of the songs he wrote, one of many.
They said Pet Sounds might have been one of the most influential
yep.
albums of all time.
Yep.
He was a genius.
Yep, then he got a little drugged up and troubled. But,
a little cockeyed.
But that's okay. A lot of...
Sort of like me on prom night, a little cockeyed.
Okay. Well, all right.
Celebrity birthday time.
Oh, boy.
June 10th. Elizabeth Hurley turns 60.
Oh, Elizabeth Hurley. I have no idea who that is. Is that Bobby Hurley's wife?
She's the one that was dating Hugh Grant when he had his little fun with the hooker.
Oh. Oh.
Turned out to be a male hooker, unfortunately.
Oh.
Unfortunate. Ice skater Tara Lipinski is 43.
Well.
It's hard to believe she's that old.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you see them, they're real young.
Yep.
And she was the one that won, I think she was the one that won the gold when the whole Nancy Kerrigan and... Tanya Harding fiasco.
Yep.
And then Kate Upton, God bless her, turns a spring 33.
Kate Upton, sounds familiar. I don't know anything about her.
She's a model. Luckily, Justin Verlander got a hold of her.
Oh.
Lucky. Yeah, we'll go with that one.
Okay.
June 11th. The sweetest, how can I say this nicely? Yeah. The sweetest pair of the 70s, Adrian Barbeau turns 80.
Okay.
I tried to clean that up as best I could.
Well, I think we got the point.
Football Hall of Famer Joe Montana turns 69.
Hmm. He's an old geezer.
Trying to put him in a home.
Yeah. He has a nice home.
The star of House, Hugh Laurie, is 66.
Well.
He was a fan of that show, wasn't you?
I don't know if I even heard of the House.
I thought that'd be right up
what
your
alley. What kind of House?
It's a TV show, medical show.
Nope. No, I'm
crickets.
Not a medical show guy.
Well, we'll move on.
And they did medical stuff into somebody's house?
No, that's the name of the show.
Well, I mean, why did they name the show House?
His last name was House.
Oh. I thought it was about a house.
We'll move on.
Okay.
TV medical doctor, Dr. Oz, turned 65.
Well, yeah.
You a fan of that guy?
Not really. I don't know much about him, but I know he's kind of a crackpot, but all crackpots aren't always wrong.
Seems about right.
He almost got to be a Pennsylvania
senator.
Senator, yeah.
He lost out to a 2-time stroke victim.
Yeah.
How bad is your career going to be if you lose out to a 2-time stroke victim?
Well, I'm thinking stroke victim. That part isn't a problem. He dresses in shorts and a hooded sweatshirt.
And he still won.
Yeah, and that's how he shows up to Congress. Everybody else is in suits. He's got a gym shorts and a hooded sweatshirt.
I mean,
that's just a little bit odd.
We all have our gimmicks.
Yeah, but I wear Hawaiian shirts a lot, but I also wear a suit at church.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Different costumes. He needs to change his costume depending on where he is.
Only thing missing with you on Sundays is a bucket of ice cream, and you'd be Baskin Robbins.
Oh yeah, Baskin Robbins has.
Well, they got the same collars.
Oh, okay.
Almost.
Okay, I'll believe you.
Try to liven the night up a little bit. Before the big boys come in.
The big boys.
Which, by the way, where are they?
They're out in the lobby chit-chatting with the ladies that we just spoke to.
We'll end with a guy who hasn't had a movie in about 20 years. Shia LaBeouf turns 39.
I've heard the name.
Last time we heard from him, he was making that horrible Indiana Jones movie. Crystal Skull.
Hmm. Shia LaBeouf. I figured that was a woman, so that shows what I know.
These days, it could be.
Could be. So maybe he had a sex change, and now he's Sharon LaBeouf.
Works for me.
Yep. Might not be either.
Well, I think I've done all the damage I can pull off.
Okay, so we'll be coming back in a little bit with Sports Talk
yes.
with Bubba and Fee, and they have Anna Reisner coming on and her coach and aunt, I believe, Christy Diller. And we will. They'll also be talking to a couple of people in Island Vibe. That'll be a phone call, Island Vibe, and... they're going to be playing at the Taste of the Town tomorrow night. So they're going to talk to them. And just like this show, it'll be our last show till fall sports season comes. And if everything goes properly and like it should, that will also be on our FM station. So FM station is going to be coming on as soon as Chuck can get all the I's dotted and T's crossed and mostly government permissions sorted out, then we'll get that.
Quick question.
Yep.
When we do go to the FM, will I be allowed back on?
Yes. Yes, you will. No, the whole reason we did it is to get rid of you.
Well, it may work.
So, I think your earlier references to Adrian Barbeau probably would pass the FCC things, so I think we'll be okay. But so that'll be that is going to happen. It's going to be 107.3 WFRC, Fort Recovery Community Radio, low power FM. So it will extend about it'll extend past our school district and some. It'll be somewhere around, depending on weather and a few things, anywhere from about 5 to 8 miles. Could be a little farther than that sometimes, but. So 107.3, The Tribe, WFRC, and that's going to be coming up soon. Chuck was hoping to have it ready for the Jubilee. That's not completely out of the question, but it's we're pretty close, but there's too many things that need to get approved for them to all fall into place on time. He was hoping June 1st and then hoping Jubilee, but we'll get there. It's all going to happen, but there's not any problems. They just have to get to it. So we'll take a little break, come back with the sports talk, Bubba and Fee, right after this.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.